This morning we conclude our study of Proverbs with one you've probably heard before. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Listen for God's word. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. So what is a proverb? I'm kind of ashamed to admit that I learned quite late in life that Proverbs isn't a funny Hebrew word that refers only to a book of the Bible. It's actually a literary form that exists outside the Bible. And wouldn't you know it, but they were once quite popular. People used to write entire collections of them. And what's even crazier is that other people used to buy those collections. And one of the writers of these collections of Proverbs was a man named Benjamin Franklin. Maybe you've heard of him. He published Poor Richard's Almanac, and you'll recognize his most famous proverb. It goes like this: early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. So that's a proverb. Proverbs are pithy, memorable sayings that try to impart some sort of wisdom in one or two sentences, and some are really nice, especially when they rhyme. But life's not usually that simple, is it? The secret to the good life can't be boiled down to one sentence, can it? But of course, the book of Proverbs in the Bible isn't the same thing as Poor Richard's Almanac, is it? The words of the sages are not the same as the words written on a fortune cookie, are they? No, there's something here that has made them worthy of preservation for thousands of years. So what is it? Well, simply put, the thing that distinguishes the book of Proverbs from the book of whatever else is that the book of Proverbs comes to us as the word of God. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. You see, the word of God is different than other words because this word, given to us in the Bible, speaks to us by the power of God's Spirit. As one scholar likes to say, the Bible is not written to us, but it is written for us, meaning that God himself is able to speak to us a very new and very particular word through these ancient words. And so if these are God's word to us today, what is it that God is speaking? My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Now, anyone who has ever spent more than 5 minutes with a young child knows that the desire to understand the world is a fundamental part of being a human being. It's especially obvious when you're stuck in a car with one of them. If there's ever a moment of silence, you can be sure it won't last long before you're bombarded with questions. Why don't trees talk? Do they have mouths? Why is the moon chasing us? Where are all those other cars going? Maybe they're going to get ice cream. Can we get ice cream? We want to know things, don't we? We have a thirst for knowledge. That's what drives us to innovate and to create, to go to the moon. We want to know what's out there. We want to know what makes things tick, taking things apart and hopefully putting them back together in the right order. Gaining knowledge and putting that knowledge to work, that's a good thing. That's a God-given thing. That's what makes modern medicine or modern technology possible, for instance. And this good knowledge makes for a good life, doesn't it? What exactly is a good life? Well, we've already talked about that. It's to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, right? It's to be successful, to have a big house and a new car and a fully funded retirement account and 2.5 children, all with perfectly straight teeth. The good life. Leaning on our own understanding is not such a bad thing. Look at what our understanding can do for us. But it's not always good, is it? Ask your children about the anxiety that comes to them on the night before the big exam, or the pressure they feel to get into the right school or to get the right job or to make the right salary. We can strive and we can push and we can exert ourselves to good ends, but it does not always bear good fruit in our lives, does it? And why not? Because to have the good life as we define it means that we lean not on God but on our own understanding. We rely on our own ability to reach and to grasp and to acquire knowledge and money and things and power and honor and respect, and where does it end? Well, to be honest, it doesn't end. There's always more to do, my son. Do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. My son, says our text, my daughter, my child. Why does Scripture address us this way? My child. You know, if young children can teach us about the human drive to gain understanding, they can also teach us something else. You know, it takes trust to ask a question like a child. Because when a child asks a question of a teacher or a parent, what they're also doing is they're assuming that the teacher or the parent knows the answer. That's called trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. But alongside trust comes humility. It also takes humility to ask a question like a child, because when a child asks a question, what they're also doing is they're acknowledging that they don't already know the answer. Humility. Lean not on your own understanding. And so, when our text tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, perhaps what it's really saying is that we are to relate to God as a child relates to a loving parent, with trust and humility, my son, my daughter, my child. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Become like a child before God. That's the only answer to the truly good life. But of course, it's not automatic. As with all things in the Christian life, you just can't force it. The humility and trust of a child to be genuine must be built upon the foundation of a relationship. Because how can you trust someone if you don't know that person? Our therapist friends tell me that when a child goes to see a therapist for the first time, often the first thing they'll do is they'll play a game together. Now, of course, there's nothing therapeutic about playing Uno or Go Fish, but the reason games are so important is that playing them creates an opportunity for a conversation to begin. And conversation creates the opportunity for what? For a relationship. And from that relationship can begin to grow a sense of trust. Now, I wish, of course, that we could play Uno with God, but and maybe one day we'll be able to do that. But here's the good news. The good news is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, the conversation has already started. The conversation between God and us. God is already speaking to us through His Word. We need only to listen. And the more we listen, the more we come to know Him. And the more we know Him, the more we come to trust Him. My son, my daughter, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I'm reminded of a story in the Old Testament I'm sure you'll remember. It's the story from the life of the prophet Samuel. But in this story, Samuel is still a young child. And you'll recall that his mother Hannah dedicated him to the service of the Lord when he was still small. And so he was living under the instruction of Eli, the priest in the temple, a father figure to Samuel. And the text says that the word of the Lord was rare in those days, meaning that even if God were speaking, few would recognize his voice. And so it was that one night while this little boy, Samuel, was sleeping right in front of the Ark of the Covenant, a voice called out to him and he woke up. The text says, then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And a third time the Lord called, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Speak, for your servant is listening. The humility and trust of a child. Before Samuel knew the Lord knew him. Indeed, like a loving parent, the Lord called him by name. The conversation had already begun. Samuel needed only to listen. The Apostle Paul gives us a similar image in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, when he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And what he's saying here is that the calling of God is not reserved only for famous prophets in the Bible. No, the calling of God belongs to us as well, for we too are children of God. God calls to each of us because God knows us already. Before we were born, God knew us completely. Like a loving parent, God calls us, my son, my daughter, my child. We need only listen. One preacher says of this image that it brings back memories of your mom or your dad waking you up in the morning by calling your name, and sometimes they'd been doing it for some time before it penetrated your ears and you began to hear it. And the voice then woke you up, and you recognized your name, and you opened your eyes, and your mom's face was looking right at you, and a new day had begun. God speaks to us, doesn't He? God speaks to us out of the Bible. By His Holy Spirit, these words on a page become for us His holy word. And only when we hear Him calling through His word do we come to know Him. And only when we know Him do we begin to trust Him. He calls, my son, my daughter. And He wants us to call Him Father. My son, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. It may surprise you to know that this passage in Proverbs is one of the very rare instances in the Old Testament when we hear God referred to as Father. You see, in the Old Testament, He's Creator, Shepherd, Master, Lord, and King, but seldom Father. And why is that? Because we didn't know Him as our Father. By our sin, we made ourselves strangers to Him. But God was not content to be a stranger. And so He made Himself known to us through His Word, His eternal Word incarnate. That's Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, He made Himself known. Jesus says, "Anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in Me." This relationship that they share, Son to Father, Father to Son, perfectly exemplifies what it means to trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But He wasn't just a good example for us. His humility and His trust accomplished something on our behalf. Paul says He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And if you don't think that the Holy Spirit speaks, the choir just sang that, and I didn't know they were going to. In agony and in tears, He made His prayer in the garden, "Not my will, but yours be done." He took our estrangement upon Himself, reconciling us to God in His death and in His resurrection. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, undid our estrangement by becoming our brother. He became our brother that we might know God as our Father. So now, when our Father calls us by name, by the Spirit of our brother Jesus, we can respond. We who knew not how to trust Him can now, with the humility and trust of Christ, we can respond to His call by saying, "Speak, Lord. Speak, Father. For your beloved child is listening." Thanks be to God.